You can give us a call at the office, and or we have via PayPal, or there's several ways on our website. And you can support, whether it's $1, $5, $25, $100, or more.
Thank you so much, Adam. And we'll be in touch with you in the not-too-distant future, and hopefully see you down in Arizona.
Yes, it'd be our honor, and we'll see eye-to-eye to all those that are called.
Thank you again.
Okay, blessings. Namaste. Hayaya. Aho. And all my relations, have a wonderful evening.
Om Atakuyasin. Right. Thank you. Aho. We've been listening to Asher Lyons and Adam Yellowbird. We've been learning about the ancient gathering that's going to be happening in the middle of April. Thank you all for listening, and now we're going to have Palestinian news. Thank you.
And I think actually Palestinian news is a replay from an earlier time. You're tuned to Free Radio 101.1 FM and www.freakradio.org. Coming up next is Bathrob Spears Broadsides with co-host Curb Hugger Chris, who's in the studio, but I'm not going to turn up his mic because we don't want to hear too much from him. Stay tuned.
Is ours once more. Now that we have the neutron bomb, it's nice and quick and clean and get things done. Away with the sense and know me, but know this valued a property. The sense and war, the perfect sense at home. The lump on a big bag of lies. Carbon millions slips away. It actually has more room to play. I'll fix them so I kill the poor tonight. Gotta kill, 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 kill the poor. Kill, 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 kill the poor. Kill, 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 kill the poor tonight. You know the spark of life should fade. You try and respond to worry again. A life's a dream with human feeling right. Game Bond on the screen today. Give it the liberals, it's okay. So let's get that dirt and the way.
And that was the Dead Kennedys, Kill the Poor, from the good old days of Governor Jerry Brown. And now we have Attorney General Jerry Brown, and God help us, round two, the right-winger, more version of Jerry Brown coming up. So, you know, hang on to your asses. Here we go. This is Free Radio 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. And I'm Robert. And coming up is a show called Bathrob Spears Broadsides, which runs for about 2 hours. And in the studio with me soon, ducked out for coffee, is Curb Hugger Chris, who's a genuine homeless guy who is one of the most articulate folks I've met around, who has a lot of sharp and pungent things to say about life on the streets and has a direct, we have a direct line to the streets from him because he's out there, comes into town, and he's a regular panhandler near the Gap, in case you want to be supportive of him as a member of the community. I think he's worth supporting. Encourage you to do that. I'm also hoping that we can have kind of a brief discussion, debate, exchange between Dan Bronson and Uncle Dennis Davey, who's a regular talk show old-timer here on Free Radio at 8 o'clock tonight, which we had hoped to do, but Dennis is ill. The subject matter is the Board of Permit Appeals at the county level, which has been truncated, abolished, and beheaded by the Board of Supervisors, and its functions overtaken by the board. And I got an interesting phone call yesterday from Dan Bronson, who may have an announcement to make about that. He's supporting the supervisorial candidacy of Cove Britton. I'm not entirely sure about Cove myself, but we'll be talking about the specific issue of the Board of Permit Appeals. What does this have to do with poor people? Well, Bronson would tell you it has to do with them because homeowners are prevented from making the kinds of improvements in their homes that might allow them to provide for more affordable housing for poor people. Perhaps people on the other side would say this is a way of making sure that the poor people don't get into scam situations where homeowners can allow substandard conditions for poor people. And I would say my main interest in this is kind of, in a way, an example of what seemed to me procedural abuses by the Board of Supervisors, which has been avoiding oversight for its Planning Commission for years, if not decades. And then when the actual oversight actually began, moved to quickly short-circuit it and protect what seems to be, may have been culpable Planning Commission malefactors or people making mistakes in that department or people exercising improper power. We're going to be talking about that later. And I don't know if we're going to be talking about it today because, as I said, Dennis is ill, although I think Dan is going to either call in or come in. We'll see if that happens. I haven't heard from him today, so we'll see what's going on there. A quick update and announcement. I just posted on IndieBay the word that I heard from Whitney Wild, who tells me that there's going to be indeed a trial for activist Wes Modes. And some of you may know activist Wes Modes. He is an activist with a number of projects. One of them is the Trash Orchestra, which actually, through its intervention, through its solidarity, through being present and hanging with the drum circle for about a year and a half, or at least at crucial points during the last year and a half, has been able to dissuade police from wading in and driving them away, which is what they have done in the last month. They've moved and driven away the drum circle from its location next to the farmer's market, and then a block away, and then a block away in the other direction, to its current location, which apparently has not been harassed, at least not yesterday, and was only briefly surveilled. Well, it was surveilled for a longer period of time, but not extensively harassed by Sergeant Harms a week ago. It's hard to say where that's going to lead. Some people are concerned that this is, that, you know, instead of going back and addressing either the farmers market merchants who have essentially paved over the drum circle area with Lulu Carpenter's coffee stand, commercial coffee stand, even though there are plenty of other places that these commercial ventures, which are claiming to be farmers market businesses, could have gone. Nonetheless, they're there, right on the spot where, at least Lulu's is, right where the drum circle was, and there was no consultation with the people in destroying this 10-year tradition's location and spot. It was just done. Some people are considering going back and doing protests there. I, for one. But, you know, who knows? We have a lot of holes and a lot of dikes to deal with. There's a general attack on, of course, community activities downtown. The Guerrilla Theater was driven away a week ago from under the Soquel Bridge where it had been performing. There is a trial, as I said, tomorrow, and I heard this from Whitney Wilde, and a protest rally, a support rally, for Wes Modes, who is being tried for supposedly organizing or participating in, it's not entirely clear which, the DIY Last Night Parade this year, which happened on December 31st, where folks from all different areas converged on downtown in colorful costumes and marched through town and with no property destruction whatsoever and a lot of fun and no damage. And I don't think there was much of a littering problem either, though I don't know about that. I know that there's usually a huge number of, you know, alcoholically inclined individuals who come down, you know, for the actual New Year's Eve midnight ding-dong deal at the town clock, you know, to bring in the new year, and that may result in more problems, although this year apparently it did not. But in any case, Wes is charged, along with Whitney Wilde and Curtis Relaford, with either participating in or organizing a parade without a permit. And parades don't really need permits unless they involve many, many people. And participating in a parade without a permit is actually your freedom of assembly right, unless you're causing some kind of public disturbance or problem, it seems to me. And this is such a traditional event that seems to me to be a far-fetched attempt, in this case, to go after Wes. Because of his participation in other activities, like solidarity with the drum circle, like his involvement in supporting and helping to plan for and organize the Sub Rosa Cafe, which he's been involved with, which has been a great cafe, continues to be a great cafe. I've had differences with the cafe. I don't think it's libertarian enough, and sometimes, but they are more willing to work out these issues than most businesses downtown. They provide cheap coffee. They provide a venue for homeless and poor people. They provide, tonight, I believe, they have an open mic. Every Thursday, they have an open mic, I think around, is it 7 or 8? I'm not sure which, where you can go down and sing and talk and rant and so forth. And it needs to be supported. I was a little depressed when the Street Performers Guild, out of some paranoid notion, and I agreed to this, I shouldn't have agreed to it, agreed to hold their next meeting at the Loudon Nelson Center instead of the Sub Rosa Cafe because of their apprehension about being, you know, part of the radical stuff. And also there was a concern that it's a somewhat quieter place at Loudon Nelson, particularly if you hold it indoors in a room. Sometimes that is effective in allowing for more communication, and other times it isn't. But, you know, we actually had an interesting street performers meeting, which I think I reported on somewhat on Sunday, which the guild, the so-called guild, was reinstituted. And I'll be talking about that. But anyway, tomorrow at 1:30, for those who are interested, actually at 12:30, for those who want to be present in solidarity with Wes Modes and other community activists who are under attack by City Attorney John Barisone, and then presumably with the aid and counsel of the Santa Cruz City Council, Mayor Rotkin's, the Rotkin-Coonerty City Council. Rotkin's the mayor, Coonerty is the vice mayor, as well as the new city manager, Martine Bernal, Bernal, as perhaps we'll be calling him in the future. I actually like Martine. He's a nice guy, but usually the higher people rise, the stinkier and more inaccessible they become in a certain sense, because they are in the process of defending a whole system of old boys, mostly old boys, some old girls network, which isn't transparent in the least, isn't responsive to the community, has a very conservative agenda, and actually is behind a lot of this crap downtown around the gentrification agenda, which perhaps we can understand seems to be the process in many cities, but that doesn't mean we should support it, like it, accept it, or in any way collude with it. And unfortunately, we got a long struggle ahead of us. So 12:30 tomorrow at the 701 Ocean Street, the main courthouse, on the steps of the courthouse, I'm told there's going to be a rally in support of Wes Modes, and also I would suggest inferentially other people, other community activists harassed similarly. I mean, at least I'll be there to support that, and I hope you will too. That's at 12:30 tomorrow, demo and harassment trial for Wes Modes. At 1:30 in Department 2 is when the actual hearing and trial begin, and that's something you might want to check out too. You might put all your metal goods in the car or under a bush because these...
I can't bring my sword.
Your sword is not wanted, Chris. And we know that you're... Well, actually, the sword might be appropriate, but the pen, you know, is mightier. At least in this case, the voice is mightier than these.
Oh, you've never seen me with my sword.
I have not seen you with your sword. It's true. So to get through the metal detector, you got to get past these guys. And if you have a pocket knife, they have a shit fit and won't let you through. And so it's very annoying. I usually get very upset with guards generally. The fact that they are there pisses me off. The claim that this is some kind of public safety concern.
Whoa, what about terrorism?
Really? Yeah, what about terrorism? It's
Come
a terror
on,
to have
man.
To deal
Somebody
with these.
Somebody could probably blow up the courthouse.
Yeah,
man.
They certainly could. And I'm not even going to comment on the virtue of that or not.
But they're just doing their job.
They're just doing their job, yeah. I've heard that before. And it doesn't impress me in the least. And I wish they weren't there. I wish the money were being spent in some better way. Perhaps investigating crimes of violence.
Or general assistance.
Or possibly helping poor people to avoid crimes of violence. That would be nice. But, you know, instead it's prosecuting petty theft, prosecuting drug war crimes.
Today they spent $100,000 to trim the trees on Pacific Avenue.
Right. Or enforcing decorum rules downtown, you know, like give a proper attitude to the police or face ID checks, harassment, possible tickets.
Breathing within 14 years.
Sitting within 14 feet of a building is a crime. Sitting within 14 feet of a crosswalk is a crime. Having a display device within 10 feet of a variety of things, reducing your available space to about 5% of the Pacific Avenue sidewalk and 0% of all other sidewalks in all other business districts
is
what we're stuck with.
Generous.
Actually. Yeah, well, you're a sweetie. You obviously belong on.
No. I mean, I think 5% is a generous estimate.
Oh, okay.
I think
it's less. Well, what with the new penguin statues and the new anti panhandling meters, I'm sure it's going to be less. This is a very slimy, underhanded. We don't want to do it directly, so we'll pretend other things are happening. Approach to eliminating. Public space for homeless people, political activists, and street performers downtown. Specifically, homeless people.
Well,
really.
The thing is, it's directed also at the traveling homeless, which this time of year really begins to pick up. There's a serious uptick of young kids traveling through with backpacks and stuff like this. And the whole modus operandi is geared towards, we're going to try to keep these kids moving along. We're going to make their life so fucking miserable that they're going to want, that everybody will want to move along. All the homeless bums, anybody who passes through, whatever. And it doesn't work. The problem is that most people come here and they don't need to worry about that. They can leave whenever they want, but a percentage of people come, and they might have a problem. You've seen the kids sitting out there, need gas money. They're only there for a day or two. They get their gas money, and they're gone. But if you take that prerogative away from them, what have you done? You've created a new homeless resident. You've created exactly what you didn't fucking want. You've created kids that are now trapped here like flies on agar to...
Agar?
You know, or whatever, flypaper, you know. They're stuck like flies in glue in honey jar because of these stupid laws, man. So it backfires in their face. They end up with a whole population of people who can't move on. They're angry because they don't understand what they've done. All they want to do is pass through town. And so, yeah, they might turn to petty crime. You're right.
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, that the...
break a few fucking windows.
The use of an... Oh, for heaven's sake, not that. Infraction crime... where infractions are things like sleeping outside after 11 o'clock at night, although there's no legal place for homeless people to sleep for 96% or 97%, but I was saying 95%. There's no walk-in emergency homeless shelter in Santa Cruz, period. You got to be on a waiting list. You got to wait around. There's the Paul Lee Loft. And then there are some, you know, programs you can get into over a longer term period, but not if you are looking for a place to go to sleep somewhere legally. This is out of bounds. And Mike Rotkin, our mayor, will tell you, well, yeah, but most homeless people who sleep, and maybe there are 1,500 to 2,000 of them, as Huff has estimated, don't get ticketed. So there are only a few tickets every night. So what's the beef? What's the beef, Chris? You're outside. You're not getting ticketed. Why are you complaining?
Well, I'll tell you what the beef is, man. I don't, you know, if you're the one getting the ticket, it doesn't matter if you're the 5%. And the thing is, this gives the cops this huge, giant leeway now So they can go in and say, well, we're only going to do 5%. We're going to pick the people we don't like, people like Lito, people like me, anybody who's got any political
Explain
activism.
To our listeners who Lito is and who you are, for that matter.
Well, and you know, anybody who's got any kind of a profile in town, they'll certainly wake me up in an alley. I can't sleep in a doorway like a lot of the guys can get away with for that exact reason. The reason I hide on the river bottom, in the middle of the river bottom, very difficult to get to every night, very dangerous, actually, to be honest with you. I've almost killed myself a couple of times going in the rain and the dark in the last couple of nights. And I do that for one reason, and one reason only, because I would be amongst those 5% that they would choose to write a ticket for. And, you know, you've got to take that prerogative away from them. These are boneheads to begin with.
You're talking about our police officers as boneheads?
Fuck yeah, they're boneheads, man. They're out there on the friggin' mall today all day long writing tickets for homeless guys, doing their annual whatever it is, their annual crackdown
sweep.
Memorial Day sweep.
Hey, it's the sweeps.
Up the town. At the same
it's
time
the sweeps.
That they're wasting $100,000 trimming the trees, the cops are working steady down below trimming the homeless people. And, you know, I came here angry, Robert. I came here really fucking pissed off. I mean, I'm hungry. I was until I got to the studio cold and wet. I'm fucking tired. I'm exhausted, and I'm tired of every time. I mean, right there, standing there, waiting for you in front of the, well, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but the corner down here. fucking Sergeant Harms drives by, all real creeping by, real slow, and giving me the eyeball as I'm standing there by the payphone, like I should be conspicuous or feel fucking. And it's, you know,
under observation. We are keeping an eye on you, Chris.
I'm tired of that shit. I'm an American, and I'm from a different part of the country where we respect things like that. Public surveillance and shit like that is just not tolerated by police. I mean, we live in what I believe, where I come from, a freer society.
You're talking about Maine? Or?
Yeah. I come from the backwoods.
Not
Maine.
For long. We will. Don't you understand that we're all
sure
in a crisis? There's a terrorist menace here, a terrorist threat. We have to go into Afghanistan and root out the terrorists.
Well, right now,
we must let Obama lead us.
I just want to give a plug.
Sorry
right now,
that.
Governor Baldacci and the state legislature is desperately struggling to save our state from having to conform to the Homeland Security laws that will no longer allow us to give out licenses to anybody who comes. Before, Maine would issue a driver's license to anybody who was of age and could actually pass the test. And they didn't care what country you were from or what your immigration status was. Now we're forced to have to comply with Homeland Security, and we can no longer do that. Our state is fighting against those laws. So if anybody thinks that, you know, California has some sort of fucking corner on liberalism and freedom in America and an understanding of what liberty really is,
I think freedom is cornered
I think we're fucking surrounded by fucking idiots. And hey, good.
We do have a caller, and the call-in number for those of you who want to know is 427-3772. Hey there, caller. What's your name?
Hey, it's Jorge. Listen, I'm listening. I don't necessarily agree with Chris, but I do want to hear everything he's saying. Can you get him up closer to the mic, or maybe turn him up just a little bit?
Yeah, we've had mic problems for a while.
Well, let's see. Say something, Chris, and see if you can hear him.
Can you hear me now?
Well, I got to turn my radio back up. Say something.
Can you hear me now?
Say something. Can you hear me now?
I heard myself.
That's better.
All right, so we've got the mic turned up. Now turn your radio down and tell me why you think we should even allow Chris on this show, for God's sake.
Well, you're right. He's out there on the lines, and he's expresses himself well.
He does. It's true.
Yeah, he does.
Any thoughts about anything he said, anything you've seen on the streets you want to pass on, other than help us with our technical props?
Nothing on topic. You guys, you're doing good. I'll keep listening.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
All right. 427-3772 is the call-in number. Chris, I'm going to roll into a couple.
No problem.
You got something you want to say first before we roll into a tape? How many
tickets? I'd like to give a quick shout-out to a friend who listens every week and is very generous with his with his time in discussing the issues that we talk about in the show and everything. His name is Steve. Steve works in public service. I'm not going to go any further than that, but he's a public servant who works really, really hard for the public, and he's great at what he does, and I get to see him a lot in the process of my life. And he's like very kind to me, and it's very kind of him to listen. So thanks, Steve, for listening. Tell all your friends. And remember, I just one other thing. Just please remember, this is Activist Radio. Keep a pen and a pencil, a pad of paper ready. You may hear some information you want to write down. Please do get involved. The only way that we can change this bullshit is to work together, and that starts with you out there listening. We're trying to do our
part.
You
said, Chris, you saw some tickets on the mall today. And how many tickets would you say actually saw written, and who was writing?
Dozens at least. I mean,
more than 12?
Yeah, it started at 9 o'clock this morning, relentless, even right through the rain. They were out, they're back now, full swing. They gave it a break for a while, and it comes and it goes. It's cyclic, you know what I mean? I mean,
well,
obviously,
but how many did you personally see written? I mean, I can imagine you estimate dozens, but I mean, let's...
Six at least between, say, 9 and 11 this morning, 2 hours, and then at least another six while I hung around before the show, a couple hours before the show, so from between, like, say, 3 and 5 when I headed up here. But
And where were you, where were these tickets written that you saw?
All up and down the avenue for any infraction and all infractions.
Now, where were you seated, though, that you actually saw this? You weren't obviously up and down the avenue. You were in one or two spots, right?
Yeah. I worked in front of Borders, and then I was down by, what's the mausoleum building?
That's the Rittenhouse mausoleum building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was down that end. So that central area.
Did you hear the conversations? Do you know what the tickets were for?
Everything. Smoking, a bunch of cigarette smoking ones, but not on any yuppies, all on bums, all on street guys.
Did you see yuppies smoking?
Oh, yeah. They do all the time, sure.
Do you see police officers observe yuppies smoking and not ticket them?
I can't say that I can tell what they're observing. Most of them I came upon were already in the process of writing street guys tickets. So, I mean, I can't say, today at least, I can't say what they observe or what they don't observe. I know that they certainly are taking the smoking ban seriously in as much as they won't not approach a yuppie if they see him smoking. They certainly will right away. They definitely are on the cigarette thing strict. But the yuppie gets a break. The yuppie gets told to go put it out, or told to, you know, firmly to walk, you know, 25 feet off the avenue. Whereas the street guy, there, the minute they walk up, they're reaching for the ticket book.
Devil's advocate, could we say that street guys are, should we say, more permanent on the streets, and so have been warned before by the police, and hence should know better than to smoke? And whereas a yuppie is more of a tourist, comes into town, and
well,
he doesn't know,
somebody,
or she doesn't know.
Somebody with some sort of legal force in the administration actually had your idea, actually, and put a little needle in their butt, because last summer they came up with this really interesting program to enforce a smoking ban. They would ID you under the premise that if you wanted a break, you had to show ID that you were from out of state and or from out of the area. If your ID showed an address, a physical address that was from out of town, you were given a break. You were okay. Well, you didn't know because you're not from town, and that was their modus operandi all last summer, all last fall. Was this since they began enforcing it was to ID people. And it was, I guess they could claim in some sense that it was voluntary. They would ask you, well, you know, they would tell you, well, if you want a break and you're not from this town, you show some ID and we'll let you skip. So, of course, you know, I mean.
But they're not doing that anymore.
I didn't observe them with that tactic, but there's not a lot of people from out of town right now, to be honest with you. The tourism is fucking dead as a doornail out there. Everybody's local right now. So, I mean, it's not like it was last summer.
I've noticed a lot of
thronging masses of tourism.
You notice a lot of buildings are vacant for lease, for rent. I'm seeing more and more of that. Have you noticed that?
Oh, it's awful out there. Robert, it's awful. None of the businesses are doing any business, and it has nothing to do with us. So don't fucking blame us, because there's nobody out there, and we're just as bad off as everybody else. I'm worse, even, because we're not getting, you know, at least those people who close up their stores at night, go home and eat a hot meal and live in a warm house. We don't. You know what I mean? When we make no money, we go down to the river bottom and we fucking starve. You know? And
for those who want to know more about the West Modes trial coming up,
all right, yeah.
Which it's now online in two places and in the Santa Cruz Indie Media website, which is www.indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. Indie Bay, IndyBay.org/Santa Cruz. It's both on the side of the screen, demo and harassment trial for West Modes, and on the top of the calendar. I think I will actually run through it a little bit more, because it is coming up. It is important. I think people should consider attending. This is 12:30 tomorrow. Steps of the courthouse, 701 Ocean Street. That's Ocean and Water, you know, where the main courthouse is.
Now, what are Huff or us, what's going to be happening? We're going to do the food and the coffee?
Well, Huff didn't have a meeting this week because I found that nobody really wanted to come to a Huff meeting. Maybe it was raining. Maybe other people had other things to do. Maybe people are tired. Could be my Führership is no longer needed. There are other people who can do this. It's hard to say, but I did allow for people to give a call to Huff headquarters if they wanted to get together. And there are some Huff activists working sort of independently, and I will be there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But Huff is not involved with providing anything for this rally.
Well, whoever. I mean, I didn't know.
But I understand Sherry Connable, a local activist, is throwing the rally. She hasn't issued a public announcement that I've seen, so I just got my information sort of scuttlebutt through street artist Whitney Wild, who's been around and been supportive of a lot of homeless and community events. And what I wrote was, the Guerrilla Theater was dispersed on Friday 5/21, that was last week, from its customary viewing spot under the Soquel Street Bridge. The drum circle was relocated under police pressure from its traditional location on Cedar Street to the levee next to the Soquel Bridge area. Street musicians downtown have reformed for mutual protection as the Street Performers Guild after being driven away with ticketing threats for false claims of unreasonably disturbing noise on Pacific Avenue. Homeless activist Becky Johnson is appealing her conviction in April for singing homeless lyrics to the Petula Clark song Downtown in the Free Speech Zone, so-called, in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz. And three community activists have been ticketed for, quote, participating in the 2009 DIY Last Night Parade, as described below. So in Department 2 at 701 Ocean Street in the court of Judge Burdick, Free School, Last Night DIY, Trash Orchestra, and Sub Rosa activist Wes Modes goes on trial tomorrow for 6 infractions, 5 of them nearly 2 years old, in what appears to be a joint action by the DA Bob Lee and City Attorney John Barisoni to attack community activists in town, of which Wes Modes is
a
prominent
figure.
One. I called the municipal court clerk and was given some details. Drum circle retaliation. I'm reading from this story, by the way, in case you want to go check it out online and don't want to listen, got other reasons to do it, or you want to review it later. Apparently, City Attorney John Barisoni is prosecuting Wes for 5 infractions dating from mid-September of 2008, the week before police provoked a near riot in the parking lot next to the farmer's market where the drum circle has played traditionally for the last decade or more, and from which they were driven away a month ago. On September 17, 2008, when police showed up in force, Sergeant Harms apparently had the 5 infraction charges waiting to be used to clamp down on Wes Modes. Clearing away the drum circle from its traditional spot seems to have been high on the city bureaucrats' agenda for years. Using Vice Mayor Coonerty's parking lot panic law, banning public assemblies and parking lots, Harms moved to disperse the drum circle in January of 2008. That's 7 or 8 months before this near riot of the police in September of 2008 when Modes got these 5 infraction tickets, which he may be tried for tomorrow. And there is some uncertainty as to whether he's going to be tried. When I talked to him directly, he seemed to think he wasn't going to be tried. But when I talked to the court clerk said, nope, they're on the agenda. He's going to be tried. So it's hard to say what exactly is going
to
happen.
Well, I'd like to add a report on all this because I do have one that I didn't connect to your story until I just dawned on me Wednesday evening. And it took me some time to scrape it out of my memory. So I got to get my days right. Maybe Tuesday night, I think, there was some sort of a incident on the avenue where Guerrilla Theater set up behind New Leaf.
Wasn't Guerrilla Theater. That sounds like it was Bob Noxious.
And then they did a drum circle, a gigantic drum circle that I truly was amazed they got away with. And it went on for hours and hours untouched.
Where was this?
In front of the old Alfresco kiosk in front of the New Leaf. And the two were coordinated and tied together, and the reports I got were that it was fantastic, that it was just like the old days, and even the drumming was actually better, I think, I was told by this person who gave me the report. And the videos were all of Pacific Avenue. What they played on the side of the building were with audio and video were videos from the avenue. So it was all street performers.
Yeah, activist Bob Noxious has been going around with a little kind of device he has, doing a lot of videoing during the day. He informed me that for the last week, he has been doing regular showings every night on the back side of the Del Mar Theater via the New Leaf parking lot.
Yeah.
It is illegal to be in a parking lot that's a public parking lot unless you're parking a vehicle or walking through. But in a private parking lot, it is not illegal unless New Leaf itself complains or there is, you know, some other problem.
I think they're careful about the filming part of it. It seemed like it started after New Leaf was closed. I don't want to be exact in that, but I think they were probably closed as a business. But definitely the drum circle was very large and unruly by standards of today, what they would normally,
how many people were
normally
there?
Accept. Oh, there had to have been spread out in that whole area, probably 40 people at least, and that not drumming, you know what I mean? But I mean,
was it
people
loud?
That were, oh, yeah. From one end of the avenue to the other. You could hear it well past the roaster, well past the Rittenhouse building.
And were police around?
I didn't walk down the other way, but they were, but they seemed like they were almost... like they were nervous, they didn't even want to come near it. I don't know whether it was something where they were told to leave it alone.
Was it unreasonably loud?
There was a weird tension.
Was it unreasonably loud?
By whose standards? I don't fucking know. By the old days of the 80s when we used to have one of those circles every night out there, and it was never considered obnoxious or loud. By today's standards of what they normally enforce, it was off the charts. I mean,
you know, this brings me to an interesting thing I want to read after I'm finished.
Anyway.
Yeah, but no, I appreciate the update.
And it seemed to me, from the report I got, this was a person who is very spiritually invested in this circle, has been involved in it for almost 10 years. This person, and I will say that it's a lady, was crushed when the drum circle was messed with and has been emotionally distraught over this, and was, I mean, the look on her face was, it's back. She goes, we saved it, it's back. And so it meant a lot. It meant a lot to certain people who were in the community who really wanted it to go well. So that's anyway.
Interesting. Interesting that the police had the sense not to try to crack down on it. Although, how long did it go on for, did you notice?
Quite a while. The circle was much longer than the videos. It started well before, at least maybe 2 hours before the first drummers were there. And then probably at least 2 hours after, so they didn't stop showing the films until midnight. I'd say it went on well till almost 2 in the morning. There were people that were camped on the river bottom that were coming down, hanging out, and then going back up to the drum circle. So it was a feature. It had actually become like, hey, I'm going back to the circle now. You know what I mean? I mean, after hours of hanging on the river bottom.
We're Thursday night. You're talking about...
hoping I got my day right, but I want to say I know it wasn't last night, so it had to have been Tuesday night.
Right, because I know Wednesday, the traditional drum circle did go on not at the Cedar Street location or anywhere near there where it had previously been trying to reestablish itself, but rather at the Soquel Bridge area, the new location it was at last week, which was originally surveilled somewhat by Sergeant Harms. But then, apparently, what I heard from Drum Circle Dave, who may call in, there was no... cop did come by at 8 o'clock last night and said you have to leave by 10, and people agreed and left by 10. Sounds like some people are more interested in creating a new event and not spending a lot of time asking for permission or worrying about police department.
You don't need permission
department.
For something like this. And what
it's
we need to do
assembly,
is we need to pressure the city council. We need to get together as a community, and we need to get some of the anthropologists from up at UC and finally make some use of this giant city on a hill that we got towering over us, and bring some of these cats down here to testify in front of the city council. We need an ordinance to protect this activity as a spiritual and religious and cultural community event all across Santa Cruz. I think drumming is, I mean, drumming is like fucking surfing, man. You don't ban something like that in Santa Cruz. You just don't do it. It's part of the texture of the culture. It's part of the fiber of the culture. It is what we are as a community, and I think it should be a protected activity in almost every circumstance. I mean, I understand if you set up a drum circle in front of the entrance of a fire station or something stupid like that. I don't know. There's got to be reasonable limits, but you can get told to move. You don't get, you know, the riot squad called out on you and whatnot. I think I've always said that public nuisance laws, as they were originally written, are more than enough to handle almost any incident in Santa Cruz. You're either causing a clear nuisance to the community or you're not. And drum circles are not a nuisance. Drum circles are part and parcel of what we are.
Actually, the public nuisance laws are pretty bad, but I think that your point is that real crimes can be dealt with real laws, and you don't
need to make them up.
You don't need these broad appropriations of police power that give them big amounts of power
and
discretion
Robert,
and selective enforcement
my
power.
My problem is that even when it works in our favor, the selective enforcement, like the other night, I'm still walk away fucking pissed. I'm never fucking happy about it, because even though the drum circle won the other night, it still goes up my fucking ass. It's so inconsistent, and it's so in their discretion, and I want that discretion taken from them. They should be like fucking robots out there. Either drum circles are allowed or they're not. If they're drumming, you leave them the fuck alone. That's all they need to be told to do. They should be under all orders, not under. They don't govern us, man. We govern them.
In theory, of course. But we will only govern them if we come together to do it. And that's why I'll be reading some more about this trial. It's happening tomorrow, 1:30 with Wes Modes in Department 2, Judge Burdick's Court. Again,
Wes is awesome, by the way. I hope everybody comes out for this. I know I'll do everything I can to be there. I really think everybody should come. So.
And indeed, Wes Modes has been involved with not just the Trash Orchestra, which is sort of an orchestra all its own, but he's been involved with defending the drum circle. He's been involved with the free school, creating that, and a variety of free courses, involved with creating the Sub Rosa Cafe, involved early on with the DIY parade, although this year he says he hasn't had much to do with it, because he's been entangled in these legal charges that were leveled against him when the police raided the drum circle on September 17, 2008, and he was accused of battery on a police officer, resisting arrest, as well as being in a parking lot without parking or retrieving a vehicle, which is, of course, a serious matter, which I think 90 or 100 other people were also doing, but only he got a ticket for. Anyway, more of this. The hearing is going to be...
They were using their discretion.
They were using their... they were using selective prosecution and targeting him. Apparently, City Attorney John Verasoni is prosecuting West for 5 infractions dating from mid-September 2008, the week before police provoked, as I was saying before, a near riot in the parking lot next to the farmer's market. I'm reading this from something I've written earlier, where the drum circle has played traditionally for the last decade or so. On September 17th, 2008, when police showed up in force, Harms apparently had the 5 infraction charges waiting to be used to clamp down on West. This was found through discovery by his attorney in the subsequent legal case. And these are now the charges which are reappearing a year
so
and a
cop,
half later.
And the cop appears on the scene. He's already got a list of what he's going to cite this poor man with.
Right, from the week before. He claimed to have seen all these things the week before, and here he's going to cite him, not the week before when these things happened, but on this occasion. And now, suddenly, these tickets are showing up a year and a half, more than a year and a half later. Now, I think there's going to be a motion tomorrow to dismiss these citations by Attorney Jonathan Gettleman for being untimely, for having, you know, been... left for too long. But I don't know if there is that short a statute of limitations on infraction tickets. I haven't looked that up. I don't know. And perhaps we have a caller who will give us some thoughts on this.
Or something.
Hey there, caller. You're on Free Radio with Chris and Robert. What's your name?
Hey, Rob, man. You're not transmitting. I can't hear it. You just cut out a second ago. So check your radio signal, okay? And I'll call back later. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Dear.
I got it ready.
Let's see if we're on the air here. And we'll see. It looks like we are not on the air, but we are on the studio. It's unfortunate. It looks like the transmitter is in trouble. That is too bad. Let's see. We're having a second check here for radio. Sorry if you're not hearing us, and thank you for the warning, Drum Circle Dave, although you probably can't hear us now. And it looks like we are not transmitting. Interesting. Let's see what's happening over here. I'm going to play a little music while we sort of research this.
Go with music because you might have streaming listeners.
And let's see. Oh, I'm sure we probably do. And let's see what we can do about this. So don't go away, listeners.
Sorry about this, folks. It happens from time to time.
We're working on it. And we will,
actually, it doesn't ever happen in this show. Not yet since I've been here. But
it's happened a couple times.
Times,
yeah, it's
right?
Happened. We do have this problem every so often. And that's probably another caller telling us the same thing. But let's see. Hey there, caller. You called in, but then you hung up. Oh, well.
FBI test signal to make sure the bug is working.
It could be the test signal. Let's see if we can get a little music here as a musical break.
Have you been looking for the other side of you? Have you been looking for a friend to see you through? Looking for the other side of you. Oh, my friend, it's not outside, it's inside of you. Where's the other half? Where's the other half? Where's the other half inside of you? Where's the other half? Where's the other half? Where's the other half inside of you? If you're looking for the energy outside, you find that there is very little there to find. People can inspire you, send you loving when they're through. You'll find that you're competing for some more. You got to tap into the source, stop counting the score. Where's the other half? Where's the other half? Where's the other half inside of you? Where's the other half? Where's the other half? Where's the other half inside of you? You feel the circle must be completed, and there's no one that can fulfill like the inner you inside of you. It's not he, it's not she that will complete you. No, it's the other side inside of you. Where's the other half? Where's the other half? Where's the other half inside of you? Where's the other half? Where's the other half? Where's the other half inside of you?
That was a song by Vision Song, Valerie, and what is the name of that song? I think it's either Can We to Love or To My Inspiration, but I'll have to figure that one out later. You're tuned to www.freakradio.org, and I'm on the studio with Curb Hugger Chris,
hey,
getting
Mike,
lots of
Mike.
Calls, but apparently we're not transmitting, so...
That's what we're getting
listening.
A lot of calls about.
Hey.
Hey, but that's encouraging, though. We got a lot
hey
of
there,
listeners.
You're on Free Radio, sort of, with Robert and Chris. Hi.
Hey, Rob, it's Dave again, man.
Hey, Dave. So what's up?
Okay, I'm finally... You're back on the air.
We are back on the air. Oh, good.
Hey, Chris, how's
hey,
it going, man?
Good, good. It's good to
all
hear
right.
you.
All right, hey,
thank you for
to
your technical help tonight. We couldn't have done it without you.
Well, thanks, Dave. Thanks for the alarmism. Since we're off the air for 5 minutes, and now we have to freak out. You're going to get it, Dave. I'm calling
okay,
the police.
Well, kill I just
messenger.
Need your transmission.
Kill
you know, because, look, you know, I can't drive this free radio car without a transmission, man. I need free radio transmission.
I got you. Thanks, Dave.
That was cute. I like that.
Bye-bye.
He's all right.
So I'm going to go back to reading more about the Wes Modes trial tomorrow. Again, this seems to be, to some extent, some sort of drum circle retaliation. Clearing away the drum circle from its traditional spot seems to have been high on the city bureaucrats' agenda for years. Using Vice Mayor Coonerty's parking lot panic law, banning public assemblies and parking lots, Sergeant Harms moved to disperse the drum circle as early as January of 2008. The community rebuffed the police when various groups, including the Raging Grannies, Huff, Food Not Bombs, and the Trash Orchestra, of which Wes was a member, well, you got a loud ringer here, my goodness, joined the drum circle in solidarity.
Hold tight, caller. We're coming.
Here we go. Hey there, caller. You're on Free Radio. Hello.
Hey, Robert.
Yes.
don't give up my name, but I've just been listening and been thinking, you know, a lot of this seems to be coming directly from Berlusconi himself, not necessarily city council. And have you ever done a boycott or demonstration outside of his legal office?
We actually did, and if you look on the Huff website, you'll see a picture of our protest in front of Berlusconi's office. There's a sound, so there's a sign which Becky Joss is holding up, I don't know, cold and freezing, it says, and it's about City Attorney Berlusconi. And we were trying to target then his refusal to address the Jones decision, which at that time was active, which said in Los Angeles, it overturned the Los Angeles sleeping ban. Why can't we overturn our sleeping ban? And John Berlusconi, well, he ignored us. Can you imagine?
How long did you do it?
Oh, we were there for a couple hours. You know, it wasn't a big deal. It was a little protest on the sidewalk.
You should have sang, Robert.
And, you know, we might have, I think we may have even, I don't know if we sang a song or not, but, you know, that could be in the offing.
You seem to get their attention, you do, when you sing.
Well, I'm afraid, you know, windows begin to shake when I start singing.
Even break, maybe even.
Well, I mean, if it was a prolonged one, I would think his partners wouldn't be too happy about it. Put some pressure on him. I mean, he needs that pressure put on him.
I think you're right. But you have to also say that the city attorney can instruct Berlusconi to drop charges, and they have declined to do this in the case of Wes Modes, though they haven't even put it on the agenda.
You mean the city manager? Isn't he the city attorney?
Sorry?
Isn't Berlusconi the city attorney?
Berlusconi is the city attorney. The city council can direct him to remove the charges, and they don't do that. So it is really their ultimate culpability, though I think Berlusconi is the moving force here, or the moving farce in this case.
You don't think he's just a tool of more of the special interests who have an image of Santa Cruz of what they want
well,
to make
that it? Well,
sure, but in a way, but he makes money off these trials, I imagine.
I don't know on what basis he comes to the decision to make charge this and charge that. I suspect it's a group of people, including the city manager, former Dick Wilson, or the current one, Martine Bernal. You know, city staff, the redevelopment agency is closely involved with the gentrification of downtown.
I mean, I hold him responsible
Parks and
for
Rec.
Specific strategies, the specific no. legal strategies.
Yeah, the legal strategies sound like Berlusconi.
But I see forces, and I have for years. Me and you have gone back and forth about this a couple of times ourselves, Robert. I mean, the Downtown Association definitely has their hand in the mix, and I mean, and these folks demand certain things, and this guy is the being the lawyer, being the shop.
But I think the idea of a protest is a very good idea, and I appreciate that caller. Anything else I want to say? I know that you were at one of the downtown dialogue meetings, the one I was at on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't think a hell of a lot of, but you know, I mean, it's always nice for people to sit around and chat. Did you get to any of the other ones, or have you heard about whether the Monday or Tuesday?
I tried to get to the other one, but I wasn't given the location. It was kind of a floating dialogue.
A secret location.
Yeah,
all right, well, thank you for calling in, and thanks for letting us know that things are going well.
Oh, I did say one thing at the one I did go to. I did recommend that we have community policing, you know.
Right. John Malkin also, he's a Wednesday broadcaster as well on Free Radio. He suggested the same thing. And we should say you're a broadcaster on Free Radio, though I'm not going to reveal your identity at this time.
That's
your secretive paranoia guy.
I did say, you know, they're giving $1 million to the police after failing to, stop the rioting. And it's just like the banking situation. And, you know, they fail. The banks all fail, and we give them a whole bunch of money. You know,
well, it's a classic
you
example.
You get paid
too,
for failure.
Right. I hear you. Let me get back to reading more about Wes Mosley, because these are things we already know. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you both.
I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, man. See you at 12:30 tomorrow.
Okay.
And again, some more about the 12:30 protest, 1:30 hearing in Department 2 tomorrow for Wes Modes. Again, he's being charged with participating in a parade without a permit and possibly five other aging, ancient charges stemming from his defending the drum circle by being present with a group called the Trash Orchestra back in September of 2008. Again, reading a little bit more from what I wrote on this. The community rebuffed the police when various groups, including the Raging Grannies, Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, Food Not Bombs, and the Trash Orchestra, which Wes was a part, joined the drum circle in solidarity. This widespread resistance may have made Sergeant Harms reluctant to engage in mass ticketing, particularly so near the Wednesday Farmers Market, where so many people could see and protest the crushing of legal public assembly. Not only that, but traditional public assembly. On September 17th police operation. Later in September, the city took to be putting up green mesh fencing around the three tree areas where people were gathered to drum and or socialize on Wednesday afternoons during the farmers market. On September 17th, 2008, Sergeant Harms and his underlings attempted to handcuff Food Not Bombs worker Jack Russ for allegedly taking down the fence around the area where the drum circle had played. Russ was ultimately never charged with that, but rather resisting arrest. Russ was brutalized, arrested, hospitalized, and jailed. What he was doing was he was playing a drum very nearby, deliberately drawing attention to the police. The police claimed he was assisting Jack Russ in escaping, and he was battering the police officer, Sergeant Harms. I think it was Sergeant Harms. There were several other police officers involved, and he was resisting arrest. He was subsequently taken to a hospital. He was injured. And he was held in jail. And finally, he was ultimately released. There were many police officers showed up with riot guns. There were dozens of cops who showed up at this. And as I said, a near riot was only averted when the police quickly withdrew after having seized Wes and Jack Russ. This was back, again, a year and a half ago. Continuing the story, massive police response nearly created a riot downtown. Photos can be found at, and there's a website you can go look at it at. I'm reading from a story on indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. You want to go there.
A story that you wrote, we should point out.
The one that I wrote recently, actually in the last couple hours. I've written many reports on the drum circle, which can be accessed by searching for my name at another website. The delayed action mousetrap, I call it. After a year of what he described as fruitless legal struggle, Wes copped a plea to battery and resisting arrest on December 4th last year. He was given some sort of deferred sentencing, which the DA has now tried to revoke using the new parade walking charge, the DIY last night parade charge described below, which also comes up for trial at 1:30 p.m. tomorrow in Department 2. Sentencing in the misdemeanor cases, the battery against the police officer and the resisting arrest charge, are slated for June 15th, 9:30 a.m. in Judge Burdick's Department 2. Wes reported that Harms had five other infraction charges stemming from his peaceful assembly with the drummers, solidarity with the drummers, on September 10th, ready to spring on him on September 17th, as I described back in 2008. They weren't pressed at that time, but they're now being belatedly pressed in court by City Attorney John Barisoni nearly 2 years later. These include 9.50020, conduct on public property. That's what happens when you put your foot on the 2-inch high lip concrete area, concrete lip around a tree in downtown Santa Cruz, up and down the mall. Any kind of, or if you, for example, stand up on a bench, or if you sit down on some public property, like one of the statues,
or the cement planters in front of Borders. That lady loves that. She calls every time she sees somebody sitting on those.
Right, that can be conduct on public property too. It's not a sitting ban. The sitting ban only deals with sitting actually on the surface of the sidewalk within 14 feet of virtually anywhere on Pacific Avenue, with some 5% of the sidewalk exceptions.
They regularly cite you for sitting on those planters.
And that's another, they'll use conduct on public property instead of the sitting ban. That's what they use. So anyway, Wes is charged. That's one of the charges. Another one is disturbing plant lawns or grassy areas, 9.50030. Another one is 9.64010, trespass in a public parking lot. I almost said a police parking lot, which probably is more accurate. Since they have the new control over public assembly, we thought we did. No, that was removed by Vice Mayor Coonerty in the City Council and Mike Rodkin 3 years ago. We don't say that in Santa Cruz. You'll get removed from City Council. Although, there will be a hearing in Pasadena
on
that issue. That's true. You're not.
I hope Mike's listening, though. You listening, Mike?
I've tried to call Mike several times, Rodkin, in the last week.
Him,
and he hasn't been responding. 9.50, obstruction of movement in a public place. That's another thing he's charged with. And 9.503, defacing or removing public property. And what that really refers to, although I don't think, I've never seen him do this, and I kind of doubt he would, but maybe he did, I don't know, is there, put up this green mesh fence around the trees where the people were drumming. And every week, without fail, drummers took those fences down, carefully put them aside, and did their usual drumming. And then the fencing was later put up again until April of 2009, last year, when finally Sergeant Harms decided that wasn't such a hot idea. Apparently, he and Brent Adams, Big Drum Brent, as I call him, worked out a kind of an understanding that they would. Brent put up a sort of a set of advisory guidelines for people at the drum circle, which went over well, and suggesting also, no drugs, no alcohol, although, again, we're not talking about enforcement. We're talking about just suggestions
for
people. And, you know, some people followed them, some didn't. But I think it sort of created an atmosphere, which really is the way you want to get, you know, people to cooperate, not through threats of force, not through massive fines in court, not through city attorney machinations and so forth. Continuing this reading of what's going on with Wes Modes tomorrow, again, 12:30 protest on the steps of the county building, 1:30 actually in court in Department 2, Judge Burdick's court. Selective targeting at work, I ask. It's not clear to me what these charges actually refer to, other than engaging in ordinary social use of the drum circle area. Dozens of people also were assembling in the lot, but only Wes is charged criminally for his presence there. Wes emphasized how he was being targeted through his attorney's discovery of documents showing Harms had these charges waiting for him on September 17th when he arrived, apparently intending to use them to deter his political activity. Wes's current defense lawyer, Jonathan Gettleman, is moving on 5/28 tomorrow to dismiss these charges, as I mentioned before, as untimely because they were delayed too long. Infraction charges don't allow for a jury trial or a free public defender. Normally, these wouldn't allow for jail either. However, Wes's case is special. In prosecution tactics, jail threat for Wes. As described above, Barisoni has leveled a new infraction charge for participating in a non-commercial event, the DIY Last Night New Year's Parade. As I understand it, the DA is attempting to use this new charge as proof of a violation of the sentencing agreement in December in the battery and resisting arrest cases, something about obeying all laws. If Wes can be convicted of this absurd infraction violation, which would also apply to hundreds of other people walking in the parade, then perhaps he can be convicted of breaking the sentencing deal with a possible consequence of months in jail under the December agreement. The hearing on that issue comes up June 15th in Department 2.
I promise you, if that happens, I promise you, man, this town will rock and roll. You got my word on that. If they fucking lock this man up, I'm telling you, it will not be all of you out there listening, and I hope there's cops out there listening, I hope there's government people out there listening, and I'm telling you, I'm warning you, don't do this, man. This man is so popular and so beloved, especially amongst the underground and in the activist community. If they do that, it would be the equivalent of locking you up, Robert, and you know it, or any other of the icons of this town who have fought for freedom for years, if not decades. If they lock him up, the town rocks, I'm telling you. They'll burn it to the ground. I'm serious. The picture of carrying him out in chains would be enough.
I think it would provoke a lot of resentment,
post
for
it
sure.
On the polls, yeah. You know, of them carrying him out of that courthouse in chains, and that's all it would take. And I'm telling you, they have the common sense.
I don't know if people have that amount of activism or even anger, and B, whether they're prepared to take those kind of risks, and also C, whether they would regard that as a fruitful use of their energy. But, you know, you could well be right. I mean, Rodney King, you know, when the guys who convicted him or who beat him up were acquitted in Simi Valley, this town erupted, as did towns across the state.
Yeah, we had riots in Maine.
There were riots. And there is actually, I have to say this, a time for riots. I don't want to be accused with Abby Hoffman of crossing state lines to provoke a riot. And I'm not trying to provoke any riots, but I'm saying that if people don't respond angrily and dramatically to violations of justice, then those who are doing so continue to engage in those kinds of violations. Now, if there are more effective channels for doing that, that's great. But when those channels are closed off, that's when you find people engaging in more, either in peaceful direct action or in more, you know, more violent direct action.
You have this tiny minority in this community, these uber tyrannical, uber PC people, all of them got money. I'm sure Rockin's got money. He lives well compared to me. All right, and they control the entire. They have disenfranchised whole segments of this town. People who are not necessarily in the minority. If you had them all together, I mean, you know, the working class people, folks out there. who just go to work every day, do their 9 to 5, and hope they can, you know, manage to pay the rent and keep the water and the lights on. Those people love downtown, man. They're about to flock down there for Memorial Day weekend by the hundreds, if not the thousands. And you folks out there, some of you are in that category. You need to listen to us. We have common ground together. They're taking your town away, too, because if you try to go, if maybe you toss back a few too many at the motor bar or over at Rosie McCann's, and you want to go take a nap in your pickup truck out back at the New Eve parking lot, you're going to get fucking a ticket. You're going to, because you can't sleep in your vehicle. That's against the law. Where I come from, that's absurd. That's exactly what the cops want you to do. They would tell you to go sleep in the parking lot, for God's sakes. It's common fucking sense if you've had too much to drink. Now, that's one example, but how they're taking your freedom that you earned and worked for away as well as us. It's not just us on the river bottom. It's all of us.
Now, have you heard of any cases, Chris, of people coming out of bars who've gone to sleep in their vehicles and gotten tickets? Because I haven't recently,
well, no,
for sure.
No, you'd have to really be a street prowler to see something like that. I mean, you know, it's not. I'm not going to say it's a common event. I know it's a common thing that in the summertime people will try to do.
The question is, yeah, the question is whether the police reasonably understand that that's a better alternative to driving, and whether they really, they want to keep people coming to the bars because that's a form of, you know,
sure,
of commercial interaction and economic support.
Kind of,
whereas
if you're a poor person
and you are sleeping regularly in your vehicle, that is another matter because you're considered persona non grata and you're subject to discrimination and selective enforcement.
Absolutely.
Again, reading a little bit more of this, event that's happening tomorrow, and it's too bad that this is a trial. It'd be nice if this were a celebration on the grass, and you know, or a circle of musical circle of some kind, or a concert.
There's nothing to celebrate in this, man. There's nothing to celebrate in this.
But what it is going to court is often a pain in the ass. I hate inviting people to come to court, but that's what I'm doing.
Well, I think it has a huge effect. I mean, I have to say, after the last one that me and you attended together, you may remember it was Alito
and Anna. That was actually a rare, successful situation. These are two street performers who...
I really do think it had an effect. I think it had a positive effect on the entire thing. This community has a history of turning tail and running as soon as they realize that somebody is watching, you know. And so, hey, you know... this is Curb Hugger Chris, and we're here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Give a call at the regular numbers. Visit the website at freakradio.org if you want to learn more. My co-host Robert just bolted out the door and left me with no material to work with. So, and he's back. It's almost as bad as dropping off the air. My co-host just drops off the face of the earth.
Yeah. Getting a little water to clear my throat. Continuing, again, my lengthy description of this Modes trial, probably far too lengthy since anybody can read it.
No, I think it's important, and I think you're doing the right thing to focus the show on Wes. I really do. I approve 100%. And
okay,
once again,
well,
that's
good.
I hope you all out there will come out and
again,
support
this tomorrow.
Again,
it's 12:30 tomorrow in front of the county building and 1:30. Maybe we can scare up some food for people who are homeless who would have to go, otherwise go to the soup kitchen at the... St. Francis, and yeah, might want to get. I can't say that for sure. I'll try to see if we can might get something going with that. But anyway, as far as walking in the DIY December 31st parade, let's see here. Hundreds of others also walked in that parade, as did I.
I guess I was a journalist at the time. I was live, actually, on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Right, we were both journalists. We were both covering the parade on December 31st, but neither of us had a permit. You know, come on.
You don't need a permit to be a journalist. Don't fucking go there because I would.
Neither of us had a permit to be in the parade. You know, I mean,
I was not in the parade. I was a journalist. I was right there. In fact, I almost the Sentinel photographer almost beat me in the head with.
Well, I was both in the parade and I had a journalist. Or I'm not. I was in and out. It's kind of hard to say what the story was, but none of them is being charged. Except for Whitney Wild, a street artist, and Curtis Relifer, the African-American activist who conveyed food to New Orleans after Katrina, they are charged with participating. They were sent tickets in February, and they were found guilty in April, even though they said they never received any citations themselves. I looked up their records, and that's what they found. They kept demanding of the city attorney, John Barisoni, when they heard Wes had been charged, for their citations. And they received no reply from the city attorney. apparently they like to find people guilty in their in absentia, which is what they did with Michelle.
And in secret, apparently.
They did this with Michelle, who was one of the four sinister sidewalk singers who were cited and released back in January. You may remember in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz for singing Downtown with homeless lyrics. And she went to, she suddenly found she'd been tried in absentia, and she had to go back and say, wait a minute, my court date was a month later. And then, of course, when she did show up for court date, they hadn't even done the courtesy of informing her that they weren't even going to press any charges. This is a form of running people around. They was dropped, but they were exhausting people. They lose a wage time. They lose job time. And you'll get Mike Rotkin giving you this kind of double talk. Our mayor will give you the double talk that, oh, well, the courts will figure it out. If there's a problem, you can sue them later. In fact, we went to city council, and I also asked Rotkin, bring up the DIY issue at city council in the closed session to see if you really want the city attorney to go after Wes Modes on this charge, which seems to me to be an attempt to hook him into something where he will be accused of a sentencing/probation violation, whatever they call that, for not obeying all laws because they suddenly cooked this up at the last minute. And it's so obviously a transparent attack on an activist, or when it's revealed to be such, and a selective attack.
They've always done business in this town. They lay off the activists for a while, but then eventually they always come back to that strategy.
We can call Mike Rotkin and try to get his opinion on this issue right now, actually. We do have a phone number for him, and people can also call him as well. And I can try to check it out. Before I do, though, let me finish this story, because I never seem to be taking the entire show to get through it. Other criminal walkers in the parade I mentioned. These cases have not been set for trial, though the court records their citations having been issued. Both Wild and Relaford denied receiving them in the mail and said the city attorney has not contacted them. In fact, in solidarity with Wes, Wild has approached, as I mentioned before, the city attorney repeatedly seeking to receive notice she's been charged. Others, like India Joe's restaurant owner Joe Schultz, have also asked Barrasoni, the city attorney, to charge them as well for criminal parading. Fines on these tickets are $293. If unpaid, they go to $593. Mayor Rotkin's duck and cover response. This, of course, brings us to what I was mentioning a moment ago. Confronted on May 1st publicly by me and a couple of other people to get the city attorney to drop all these ridiculous DIY charges, Rotkin claimed ignorance. First, he claimed he was powerless. Then he claimed he was ignorant. Actually, or maybe he claimed he was ignorant, then he claimed he was powerless. But he promised to bring it up at the next closed session of the city council, after initially claiming that it couldn't be brought up at the closed session of the city council. I reminded him that it could, and he finally agreed. And we have actually played his dialogue on free radio. So it's actually been out over the airwaves and is archived for those who want to go and find Mayor Rotkin's statements on this. I contacted him by phone several weeks ago to find out when it would appear on the May 11th city council agenda, as he promised. He responded it would be brought up on May 24th. That was the day before yesterday.
Yeah, when they picked the new emperor of Santa Cruz.
City council closed session agenda for that date, Martine Burnell, the new city manager, showed no mention of it, and Rotkin didn't return a phone call about the issue then and didn't return a phone call today, which
I put
through.
Can you imagine, Robert, that he just doesn't give a shit?
I don't know if that's hard to imagine. I mean, he has a kind of a various series of responses. Sometimes, in fact, more than most council members, he responds to my phone calls. Now, maybe that's because he likes kind of a public dialogue, and he feels very confident of his ability to manage that kind of public relations activity. I don't know. He reportedly ducked the issue as well when Attorney Gettleman raised it with him. You can call him at 423-4209, which I am now doing, in order to see what the situation is with this and how he stands on this issue. He will no doubt tell us to leave it to the courts. And let's see how we're going to do with this. I'm ringing him.
How do I refer to him? His Holiness or His Eminence?
I don't want to say mean things about Mike Rotkin.
No, I just want to know. It's a serious question. he can pay his phone bill.
Message. And it looks like we're going to have to leave a message here. Mike, I'm again calling you on the issue that I've raised several times before. This is a live phone call, and I've just been describing my concerns about this issue because Wes Modes is going to trial tomorrow, about whether you are, if you decided simply you are refusing to alter the course of the city attorney or to raise the issue about whether this DIY parade permit stuff has, A, any applicability to Wes Modes at all personally, and B, whether this kind of selective process, where you're only going after one person when there were literally hundreds of people involved, isn't itself a violation
tyrannical?
Of a basic due process and showing essentially a form of political harassment. I mean, an unwise idea is my question. And I've asked you this, you know, specifically what's going on around this issue, and you're not getting back to me, which makes me wonder.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. You're calling for Mike?
I am.
He's not home.
Okay,
can
well,
I have him call you back when he comes home?
I hope so. 423-4833 is my number.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And that sounds like Mike's partner, and thank you for answering. I appreciate her doing that.
Yeah.
But again, you know, Mike gets these messages, and he's responsible for responding to them. He chooses not to, and he's chosen not to so far.
He's a very busy
man.
Give him a break. I mean,
Then he should be, if he's too busy to be mayor, he should, let Vice Mayor Coonerty take over. God help us, which is what he'll be doing soon. All right, so for those who are interested, again, you want to reach Mike and leave him a message. It's 423-4209, but it sounds like, and I believe the person on the phone, that he's not home right now. And you can also leave a message for him at City Council, though it's harder for him. Less likely he'll pick it up, but you can call him at 420-5020, 420-5020.
Or you can go to a City Council meeting and tell him in person during your three-minute allotment what you think.
Two-minute allotment, usually.
Oh, it's down to two now.
It's usually two, yeah. And you know, I didn't go to the last council meeting on Tuesday, but for those who are interested in what happened there, I am going to be reviewing the council tape, hopefully not on a full stomach, and I will be checking over what, particularly oral communication people have to say. That's people who come and talk at the public mic, to the public mic, so to speak. So you can do that. That's every second and fourth Tuesday. There's a city council meeting. Often they're held in the afternoon, an inconvenient time for people who are working, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There was no evening session at the last council meeting. So, again, rather than worry about Rotkin, and you can, again, call him at home at 423-4209 or at the office at 420-5020. And these numbers are online, at least the first one is. If you want to read the story I just read, you go to indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. You're tuned to Free Radio. I'm in the studio with Curb Hugger Chris.
Hey, Santa Cruz.
And if you want to call in here, the number is 427-3772. I'm now going to play a few reports from the street, and Curb Hugger Chris, or you, listeners, are welcome to interrupt at any point. We can talk about these issues. And you have something to say, Chris?
No.
Okay.
Did I look like I...
You were raising your finger there. I thought you were giving
me
the finger.
No, I was...
Scratching your chin.
I was trying to look at it and see if it might be edible.
Getting a little hungry, Chris. Don't look at me that way, Chris. Back off. Back off, Chris.
Big and plump, man.
Okay, if anybody has any donated food, get in here quick.
No, what I would do... No, I'm actually going to put an unashamed plug out at the end of the show, but I'll do it real quick now, too. I'll be available at the coffee roaster after the show if somebody wants to.
Remember, the Sub Rosa does an open mic. You might want to go there.
Well, maybe I'll be at the open mic, but I'm a pretty regular at the
Sub Rosa 703 Pacific, for those who are interested.
Yeah.
So. And coffee roasting, of course, is down the way
down
where
the, way
the,
it's just a,
where everybody the nights
pretty
are
much
gray.
Knows where I hang out, but if anybody wants to come down to the roaster afterwards and offer some donations, it's been a hard week for
And he's putting in
Chris,
a full time as a radio broadcaster here, at least on this particular occasion. Let's hear some street interviews. Coming up shortly, folks. Don't give up.
I'm talking to two erstwhile Greenpeace workers about 4:15 in front of the infamous O'Neill's on a windy Sunday, the 16th of May, talking with
Devin
and
Andrea.
And Devin, you're telling me that there's a kind of a complication at Trader Joe's. Not only do they harass Greenpeace and ACLU canvassers in the parking lot, let us say the people in front of them. I guess it's the property management people, not necessarily Trader Joe's, but you also have a concern about Trader Joe's.
Yes, Trader Joe's buys unsustainable seafood, which is why we have a campaign dealing with them right now.
And does that mean that they try to drive you away, or is that the property management oaf who wants to drive away the people he doesn't like?
I'm not sure. I've heard it's with a lot of nonprofits that are having problems in front of Trader Joe's right now, so I'm not completely sure if that's because of our specific campaign or just in general having, canvassers and nonprofits out in front of their store.
Have you yourself been actually approached by a security guard and told to get moving?
Been there recently, honestly. Because we don't get scheduled there hardly at all anymore. It's happened at plenty of Trader Joe's in the past. I've been doing this for about a year, so definitely.
Mostly in Santa Cruz or mostly somewhere else?
Equally everywhere.
So you're are you from Santa Cruz or?
I've lived in Santa Cruz for 3 years.
So you are a Santa Cruzan at the moment.
Yes.
So, because I did hear that, I saw the ACLU getting harassed, and I heard that Greenpeace was also being harassed, but then I heard the third person who was doing voter registration was not being harassed, that there was sort of discriminatory harassment going on. I was wondering if maybe you had some insight into this.
I don't know about that. I'm not completely sure. I mean, all I know, I don't want to say anything like...
No, I understand. Okay, we have a confidential communication happening here. We'll be back. I've heard anonymously from an unknown source that there may be a controversy between Greenpeace and Trader Joe's. It's going to be resolved, and that may be one of the reasons that Greenpeace hasn't gone back there. But your understanding is that canvassers are allowed in the area in back of the Santa Cruz Trader Joe's because they aren't just one private property store, that there are a number of stores in front on that parking lot.
Yes.
And so you'll be there as they drag you away to jail, upholding the Pruneyard decision.
Yes, I don't believe they'll be dragging me to jail. I think they'll give me a citation. Hopefully they won't drag me to jail.
Well, if you don't leave after your citation, then you will be taken away, woman. I can assure you of that. Actually, I can't, but it could happen then.
All right. Well, I'll stand my ground.
How's Greenpeace effort coming today downtown Santa Cruz with all this wind and these questionable canvassers interviewing you?
It's going pretty well. We have a couple new people out on the street, and they're doing really well today. Santa Cruz has a large mixture of people that are already involved with Greenpeace and people that aren't necessarily... as enthusiastic as we are about the issues, but as far as today goes, even with the wind, we've been pretty successful.
You haven't been blown away yet.
Exactly.
Again, we've been talking with?
Devin.
Thank you. Well, here we are down in Motorcycle Land in front of Borders on Thursday, May 20th, listening to the strumming of
Ricardo Lopez.
Ricardo, you look like you're back in business. You got your fancy pants and your cool shirt, your artist cap on again, and it's previously been held for safe custody in the police department.
That's right, but thanks to you, your lawyer friend, W.W., thank you, W.W.
She's not a lawyer, she's a street performer.
Ah, that street performer, thank you. My brother who called and used his official voice, and Tony Cuspa.
The biggest voice on Pacific Avenue, the man who snuck away from the sinister street performers in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz on January 6th without getting a ticket for singing Downtown.
Yep. And he's also the single payer guy. Single payer for all of us. It makes sense. It saves $400 million, $1 billion. Yeah.
But you know, we need that money to pursue the Taliban, so forget it, buddy.
Yeah, the Taliban and the boogeyman. Who else?
Taliban is the boogeyman. I like that.
Yeah, the new boogeyman, I guess. But thanks to everybody up at Huff and all the other people. I've got all my clothes back. I'm well, and I'm out here entertaining Santa Cruz.
You sound pretty good. Anything happened today of any note?
Actually, they seem to be expecting me. Enough people called in that I just went in, got my stuff, and no problem. They didn't lose it. They didn't thanks because I had all of the backup and the help.
And between what this means is that your generous police department, 2 days a week for 2 hours on each of those days, will allow you to retrieve property they've stolen from you on other days.
And that they've stored at taxpayers' expense.
Well, it's a really prudent use of taxpayer money, wouldn't you say?
I would say so, but I figure every misdemeanor ticket like that, didn't they just fire 35 or lay off 35 people out of the Justice Division up there?
Well, you know what they say, there is no justice when there's so much division. Or perhaps, well, I won't get into it. Thank you again. We've been talking with
Ricardo Lopez. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Ricardo. All right, well, it looks like a sort of semi-rainy night out here. It's Tuesday evening, the 25th of May, something like that. And it's around 9 o'clock, 9:15 at night. I'm outside Woodstock Pizza talking with
Jamie Wally.
Jamie. Yes. Jamie, you're a man. You got your sleeping bag with you. It looks like a wet night. You're going to be outside, I take it.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And have you been out for very long in the last week or two, or
yes,
month
sir.
Or two, or year or two?
Well, probably the last 6 months I've been out.
In Santa Cruz or elsewhere?
Well, in California. Probably only a week here. But I've ran into some nice people, and there's all kind of resources. I mean, you got to jump through hoops pretty much to get them, but that's kind of the requirement. You know, every time I've asked somebody for some help, I've been pointed in semi-sort of the right direction. And
so tell me more about that.
Well, I was trying to get a ticket home.
Home being?
Mississippi.
Gotcha.
And they sent me to two or three places first. And finally, when somebody called my family, they assisted me with a ticket, told me to be 7 days till, you know, I had to wait 7 days because they'd buy it in advance and get it cheaper. But there's some lovely people here.
Talking plane or bus or?
Bus, yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's a bus. But
you don't sound too deep Mississippi in your accent.
Well, I've been out for a while, and being home about 20 minutes, and you'll be able to hear it deep then.
That's a little bit of it.
Yes, sir. But this is one of the best little towns I've ever been to. I've met some of the bad people and some of the best, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And I'm infatuated with Santa Cruz. I love it.
Your first time here?
Yes, sir.
So you've been sleeping, where have you been sleeping? Under, in?
Outside by a closed down bank or right on the river if the weather permits.
Hassles from cops?
Not really. As long as you're not jumping up and down, half of your clothes still on, they really looking for people that are messing up, you know.
So they passed you by, or they just haven't seen you?
Well, I've been in encounters with them, but usually they pour out the beer somebody else was drinking, and then they write tickets for the other people that were jumping up and down and cutting up. But pretty much, as long as you keep your ducks in a row and stay out of their face with anything you're doing illegal, they leave you alone, pretty much. I mean, or me, they have been, knock on wood, I thank the Lord, but I've been asked to move a time or two, you know, sitting down somewhere, but that's really the only thing they've done agitating to me.
Any violence against you by other folks or people in the last... here in Santa Cruz or elsewhere?
No, sir, not really here. There's a lot of violence in San Francisco. I was able to stay there for about a month through my travels, and there was a whole lot of violent people there for no reason, just violence. All right, I'm coming that way. But yeah.
You got to get going. I don't mean to hold you up.
It's all good. I was just traveling with some friends of mine.
Hey, man.
And, at some point, can I get a card?
Sure, I'll give you one right now.
Okay. But, yes, sir. Other than that, I mean, it's just been a wonderful trip here. I really don't have a lot of negative stuff to say about the city.
Well, I won't require any curses at this time.
Right.
Here's a card in case you want to do any blessing or cursing later on. That gives you the show time. Here's a card,
okay,
man.
Okay. All right. Very cool. Thanks for your moments.
Right. One last question. I've got this. I was reading this article from Street Spirit, a monthly homeless newspaper that they sell up in the Bay Area.
Right.
And I was checking out this report from San Diego by a guy called Rocky Neptune. Did a homeless newspaper down there. And what he writes, no problem, is somebody asked,
asked, why don't you go to a shelter at night? And, of course, the same question might be asked of you. Have you tried to use local shelters? Or?
Yes, sir. Actually, I think that it's a waste of time for me because I go in, there's so many people doing so many things. I'm not going to get a good night's sleep. Every one of the people in there, I'm not going to say 100%, but say 80 of them are straight 5150. They don't care. They don't bathe. They don't care to bathe. And then anything you say or do, you got an argument here and an argument. It's just so much less drama to stay out somewhere, find a bush, and hope it don't rain. I mean, or find a bridge.
You haven't tried one in Santa Cruz. It's another city.
I haven't tried one in Santa Cruz, but the one in, I guess, Salinas, it broke me from it. I don't want to be around. Or a little orchard in San Jose. I've tried that one. I've just had enough. And what? No, I haven't tried one here. So.
Fair enough. What this guy writes, he writes from a somewhat different perspective. Shelters are fine institutions, but not everyone belongs in an institution. I tried going a few times, but it was such a demeaning process. Some staff treat you as public vermin, criminals, and sickos, while others order you about like little children or mental retards. But you have you found that in shelters or not?
Yes, indeed.
As well,
it's quite another angle, but also there is truth in that. They truly want to control you, and it seems like the people that are out on the streets are ones also working in there, and then they use this little power trip, and then they're not really trying to be any better than they were when they got there, but they want to control you and tell you what to do, and it's just like...
That's the thrill of power!
Yes, I hear you. Yeah. I hear you.
Well, I'm going to let you go, man.
Excuse me, sir.
Again, we've been...
Can you give me tamales, baby roots, sugar, candy?
And we have a purchase happening here of, sounds like, questionable sugar goods. I don't know if it's...
Sugar babies, and...
Thanks for the interview we've been talking with.
Jamie.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And I think we have another interview coming up here. In fact, I know we do. Any comments, Chris, before we go on?
You don't
need a mic. You can just comment. The fact that no one hears you. I mean, if a Chris comments in the woods, does anybody fall? No, it doesn't make sense.
Transmit it psychically to the listeners. Y'all all meditate now, and I'm going to ohm and send you my thoughts, okay?
You're ohmless, aren't you?
Oh, God. Why would the Buddhist jokes? You know, I still am smarting from Valerie's comments the other day, and I wanted to comment on them quick while I had a chance. The little tete-a-tete that we had over definitions of violence and the morality or immorality of what happened downtown. And she kind of brought up what I considered, and I know Val's probably listening, so I'm going to say this gently, but what I considered a little bit of a low blow, because I've never actually talked on the air about my religious leanings or activities. It's not something I want to get into on this show. And so she brought up that I was Buddhist, and whether or not that was compatible with my advocating an occasional breaking of window. Uh-oh.
Advocating window breaking, eh?
Uh-oh.
Make a note of that, Sergeant Harms. We have a caller.
Uh-oh.
Hey there, caller, you are on Free Radio with Chris and Robert.
This is Dan Bronson. Do we have an appointment?
Yes, Dan.
Hi,
we
Dan.
Actually
put me on hold.
We have Uncle Dennis who says he's going to be calling in shortly.
You can put me on hold.
Okay, why don't we have this? Why don't you call me back in 10 minutes?
Will do.
Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
And that
but
is
anyway, I just wanted to conclude my shtick that what I did was I went out and checked out a book out of the library called Buddhist Warriors. And it was about the Kampas, who are these very fierce, pony-riding, rifle-toting warriors that live in the outbacks of Tibet, who 400 or 500 of them faced down over 10,000 man invading Red Army when Tibet was occupied. And they went to war with a rifle in one hand and the prayer beads in the other. So it is compatible. You can defend yourself. You can rise up.
Hang on, peace and pacifism. You know, I'm not an expert in Buddhism or in Catholicism, but I know that some feel that the embrace the Catholic Church has done, for example, of the Crusades and other such vicious absurdities actually demonstrates a divergence from the teachings of the founders of Christianity, or perhaps the founders of Buddhism.
Perhaps,
this is a subject, you know, this isn't really a subject that is my main strong point. I'm going to return to the main subject of this evening's
symposium.
Well,
it was something that came up on the show, and it's something I wanted to address.
I
did some research myself, and I'm not at all uncomfortable with my stand. So.
I hear you. You're comfortable with your stand, and we won't stand for it, so we're going to continue.
It's an important issue. There's a lot of people in Santa Cruz.
Yes, but it's not an issue
pastors.
We can really cover here with any intelligence. So that's
and
the problem.
We want those people to resist.
Yes,
so.
I
want to let them know
resistance is important one way or another.
That you can
resist in your own way tyranny as it happens in your town. Please do. Wes Modes tomorrow, 12:30 protest at the courthouse. There we go. And it's going to be at 12:30, and then at 1:30 there's going to be an actual court hearing. We have a caller. Let's see what the caller has to say. Hi there, caller. You're on Free Radio.
Hi, this is Brent Adams.
The infamous Brent Adams.
If you say so.
Well, actually, I think you probably got my email, Brent. I was about to read. I don't know if I'm going to have time to read it, because I got somebody calling in 7 minutes. But I had actually drawn up on the screen your response to a woman named Rose, or Rosa, actually.
Yeah.
Who... was concerned about your drumming downtown. I think you really wrote a really eloquent response describing in detail, you know, your thoughts about the issue, and I intend to read it at length, but what are your thoughts?
It's amazing that she's finally made contact. Every time we play downtown in front of New Leaf, we get one person who lives four stories up in the Borders building there, in the corner of Soquel and Pacific Avenue, who calls the cops and complains. And this time the officer, Winston, definitely agreed that she is somebody of abnormal sensitiveness, which is in a way borrowing from the way that the law is written, which means the person has to be irritated, somebody of ordinary sensitiveness. But it's interesting that she wrote, I thought she was very articulate, shared her thoughts.
Wait a minute, let me interrupt you, Brent, because do we know that the woman at the Borders bookstore, I thought there was a woman named Melody Zizek or something is this the same person?
Melody has never called on us. Apparently, what happens is we were told we get a call. We've had a call, and the officer normally goes over to that side apartment entrance. You know, it's near the bathrooms mm-hmm. on Soquel. And when they go up there, that means he's taking the elevator up to the fourth floor.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've ever been up there, but they're...
No, I haven't.
They're set back. They have really awesome views. I've been up there a few different times. They're cool apartments.
Mm-hmm.
But they're definitely set back. You look up there from the street, and you don't really get to see them at all. So I know that she is not, like, it's not representative of the sound we're making downtown.
Now, you play a 50-gallon drum with a muffled hammer. Is that correct?
That's right. I'm a very strong person.
And it has a sound to it. And it does echo, and we actually had Curb Hugger Chris, if you've been listening to our show, talking about how earlier on Tuesday night there was a huge drum circle downtown on Pacific Avenue near New Leaf.
Of course it was cool.
But you yourself are talking about something else, which has to do with a regular
Love Gutter.
Love Gutter, which is the group you and Wireless, your percussionist.
Yeah, and Breakfast when he's in town.
And the infamous Breakfast, who
you can see it on MySpace. Love Gutter.
Yeah, Breakfast got some great songs. He used to play them years ago when he was around.
Yeah, in the city.
We have only about 5 minutes. Go ahead. I'm going to give you a little more time. But then
I just want to call in and give you a report. So,
go ahead.
So Winston said, you know, I'm going to go talk to her. And I'm like, you know, normally we stop. But this time, you know, I'm going to take the ticket because we had these kids dancing. We had a whole bunch of people enjoying it. We had, you know, we'd only been playing for 20 minutes. And we could definitely feel that the vibe on the street was really getting high.
What time of day was it, and where were you?
It was probably on a Sunday. It was probably 5 p.m. in front of New Leaf.
Okay, go ahead.
And we were and it was really ripping. It felt great. We're really sensitive to what's happening around us. When people are stopping and when we get a crowd, we know that the moment is really perfect. And that we're adding something to the street, which is our intention. We want to benefit and add our creativity to the street. You know, it's really important to us. And so I said, I'm going to take the ticket this time. And, you know, I'll see her in court. He's like, you really want to? Because normally we get this threat and we run away, and he never has to actually go speak with her. So he went up, got, you know, to get the ticket signed, and then in conversation with wireless, I was like, you know, let's screw it. Let's pack up and go down the street. We can play at O'Neill's, which is the only other place we can play. Well, so we did that, and later I saw Winston. I pulled him over, and we decided to have a little conversation that lasted about 20 minutes about the specific law, the unreasonable noise ordinance. We read it word for word. He totally agreed that it doesn't apply, but he says that's not the point. They get a call, dispatch sends him, and he will apply the law. I'm like, yeah, but we both agree it doesn't work. He goes, it doesn't matter if it's not that one. I'll just have her write disturbing the peace or something else. So his point is he's going to write a ticket.
He's going to stop it no matter what.
I think is really, I mean, what's the point? Yeah. Are you a law enforcement guy?
You know, that's a significant conversation you had, Brent, because it shows he's not interested in the wording of the law. He is more interested in the will of the complainant.
Correct. Yeah, that's not law enforcement.
Yeah. That's very interesting. And so he, I mean, maybe he was saying that simply to persuade you to respect his authority to move you along, which seems to be his major objective.
Yeah, he feels we have a very respectful relationship. He does, for some reason, he's the one of all of the cops, and we know him. He has a reputation of being violent and stuff. But I guess I haven't bad-mouthed him as much as the other cops. He thinks we have a really respectful dialogue, and
He treats me and himself as well. He addresses me by name every time he sees me. And,
that's creepy, isn't it?
Yeah, very creepy. Yeah. Part and parcel of being involved in Santa Cruz, so I mean, it's not like I want to hide or care to hide.
Brother, you're in the community now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know the cops by first name.
That's when you know you're at home, when the cops say, hello, Mr. Adams.
Yeah, exactly. And he always says that, too, Mr. Doyen. He's always very respectful.
So that's a really interesting conversation. You know what a conversation you had? I'd urge you, Brent, to write down everything you remember of that conversation while the memory is still fresh in your mind in order to later discuss it in detail, let's say, with street performers and even with attorneys, because I think it is, I'm not trying to ruin your relationship with Winston, but Winston has a responsibility to the community, not just, you know, I think, you know, sounds like he applies similar standards to other people, and they're the wrong standards. And if he's being told to do that by the police department, then it's the police department that's at fault.
Totally.
It sounds like it may be a combination of the two.
Go ahead.
I got about 2 minutes left.
We see so many officers doing the same thing that we're quite. It must be a police chief directive or something like that. He didn't say it was him. He gets a dispatch. I mean, how do things work at the police department? You call them, you say, I want to make a complaint. The dispatcher calls the cop. It doesn't matter if there's any law at all. The cop shows up. At that point, the cop would have to, like,
they have to find reasonable cause. Another reasonable cause is the word in the police policy manual that enables them to take a private person's complaint and actually fill out a citation. Let me talk to you about this more later. I have two people calling in to be doing an interview. Brent, appreciate your good work.
Wow,
maybe you can write this up, if not publicly, at least
privately. I've got homework now.
Now you've got homework, and we're going to be checking. I'll be grading you on this later.
All right, thanks for your great
Thank
work.
Thank you, Brent.
Thank you, Brent.
And what's his name, Curbside Chris?
Curb Hugger Chris is my nomiker here at
awesome.
The station. So.
His nom de window.
Be well. Love you, Santa Cruz.
Peace, right. man.
Bye-bye. And we're now hoping to get a call in from Dan Bronson and from Dennis Davey. I think, Dan, you're going to be calling in on 427-3772. And, Dennis, I'm hoping to hear from you on the 469-3119 line.
Yes, they're listening even.
It sounds like that may be our very own.
Everybody just
Is this the ailing Dennis Davey?
Yes.
Hey. Well, thank you, Dennis, for calling in. I know you haven't been feeling well. You're not going to be coming in for your show. And
goodness.
I really appreciate you, you know, taking the time to talk about a public issue that I know you think is important as an activist in the Sierra Club. This could be our other number calling in, or the counterpoint. Hi there. Is this Dan Bronson?
This is it.
Hey, Dan. Dennis, can you hear each other?
I can hear Don.
And can you hear Dennis, Dan?
Yes, I can hear Dennis.
So I guess, you know, the place to begin is to phrase the issue thusly so the community can be aware of it. The Board of Permit Appeals.
Hold on.
Yes.
The Building Appeals Board.
Thank you. The Building Appeals Board, which is the board which was established to oversee the Planning Commission in some respects.
Okay, hold on. Yes. Not mislead the listener here.
Yes.
It's not overseeing the planning department or the commission.
I'm sorry, it's the planning department, not the planning commission.
It has to do with it's an avenue of appeal from decisions by local government officials with regard to building code issues.
And you agree with that, Uncle Dennis?
That's what the board was formed under California law to do.
Now, the issue that came up, because, Dan, you've been on the air several times talking about this, is many have felt that the board, that the planning department has acted unfairly and come to the Board of Supervisors to protest this. The Board of Permit Appeals, I'm using that phrase actually inappropriately, as you know, but it's my shorthand. The Permit Board, I'll call it that. That way everybody will be confused. Appeals Board has... It's been moribund, though, in existence for the last 6 or 7 years, right? For the last decade, almost?
Well, it was now, there's supposed to be one created and in place in every city and
right.
county.
Right. It has, this one been...
In the county,
right.
It was created, it was recognized and created in an ordinance in 1976.
Okay, so it's been around, but
it hasn't had people appointed to it for most of that time.
Right, people were not appointed to it, and as I understand, people were not referred to it. That was a concern I heard.
Okay, at the first level, which would be the departmental level, the question is whether the county planning department, which the interesting thing is in 1978, the building department was placed under the county planning department. Now, there's a little bit of a conflict of interest right there. But the question is whether the planning department has improperly denied a right of appeal due to the public in public law.
Now, let's get specific about the kinds of cases that can legitimately be appealed from the planning department of the county to this board, or, and since that board was abolished, to the Board of Supervisors on these issues.
Okay.
Why don't you give your thoughts on it, and Dennis, you haven't had a chance to say much, and I want to give you an opportunity to speak.
Well, does Dennis have something to say right now?
I don't. Do you have anything to say, Dennis, in response to anything you've heard so far?
Well, the 2007 California Building Code, Title 24, Part 2, Volume 1, Page 11, California Code of Regulations, Section 108.8, Appeals Board, reads in Section 1, every city, county, or city and county shall establish a local appeals board and a housing appeals board. And then it goes on to describe how the board is constituted.
Okay, and your point being?
It's authority of the regulation that you're saying, you're mentioning that, and that's great.
Okay, now my point, so that our listeners don't get entangled in what the legal horse shit is here, because frankly it sounds, you know, like people are about to be dozing off here.
I got you.
Is that, is the government getting, treating individuals who are coming to it with wanting to rebuild their homes, wanting to deal with fires that have been created, wanting to create second units so that poor and impoverished people or people in low income can get easier accommodation, are they being priced out of the market by the planning department or inappropriately restricted? And this has been an issue that I think you two disagree on. And let me give Dennis the first word on this time. Dennis?
Well, what the Sierra Club and other individuals have noted is that the enforcement arm, the code enforcement arm of the planning department has been really lax. They, in fact, are not doing their job. They are not going out and enforcing code enforcement. And they are totally relying on their 1-800 number for citizen complaints before they'll go out and investigate code violations.
I agree.
The other issue is that they are literally rubber stamping riparian zone exceptions and allowing people to build inappropriate structures too close to our waterways in our county. And those are some criticisms the Sierra Club has had for a number of years.
Any disagreement on that one, Dan?
Yeah. Are you representing the Sierra Club, are you personally or in general?
I am on the executive committee of the Sierra Club, yes.
Okay, great. That's good to know. Yeah, I used to be a member, and I'm wholly supportive of its published aims. The interesting thing to understand here is that the county planning department, the county staff in general has managed to confuse the public and a lot of people with regard to what building appeals are. They are not land use appeals. They are not zoning or anything like that. They're not related to zoning issues, with one exception. But so it's not a matter of who can build a house where. That's a zoning and planning issue. The building appeals board has to do with what size lumber to use, what siding you can use, how to put the roof together so it doesn't fall on your head.
He has a point.
Any disagreement on that, Dennis?
No, that is what the state law mandates the code appeals board to do.
Okay, it's a technical board. It's intended to be a group of technical experts that know their stuff, so that health and safety is met in California. It has nothing to do with how many houses are built.
Let's avoid what it has nothing to do with. We have 12 minutes left. The issue has to do with why are so many people so upset with this board? Apparently, on one side, on Dennis's side, people are upset with the board for other reasons. You're agreeing with Dennis that the board has been lax in its enforcement.
I'm agreeing that the county has been lax or mismanaging enforcement. And you were just talking on the radio a few minutes ago about selective enforcement or discriminatory enforcement.
Has it been lax or has it been too strict? I'm asking you that. See, that's
county,
the difference.
The county has been acting to do what's called special enforcement or discriminatory enforcement for years about building issues in general. So their enforcement is very poor.
For example,
the money issue is a separate.
For example, let's get specific here, because I know we're talking also about court cases. It has to do with the supervisorial candidate Cove Britton who's running. It has to do with bunches of people coming to the supervisors who are outraged with what they're doing. What specific harms have been created by the planning department that this Board of Permit Appeals could have addressed, but is being stopped from being addressed by the Board of Supervisors? That's the key issue for me.
Okay, the thing here is that we got a bunch of bureaucrats trying to protect their power and their control. And the issue is that this building appeals board is given in state law, and I'll be glad to provide anybody with this, and I have it up on my website.
Give me the specific instances, Dan, of particular abuses that need to be corrected that the Board of Permit Appeals tried to correct, but that the Planning Department committed, and that the Board of Supervisors then wrenched away the power to stop the correction.
The most important thing is that they are violating due process. They are preventing people from having an appeal where the law states in black and white that they are...
Be specific. What are you talking about? Which cases? What? This is what the public needs to know.
I mean,
give me three cases, please, right now, very quickly, if you can.
Well, Cove Britton's got cases. We've got cases.
Show me an example.
I've got a file box full of them.
Good. Give me one.
Ferguson, Jardine, Webb.
Not the name. Watson. Not the name. The case. What happened? Give me an example.
These are people that have, some of whom have paid the $570 or more, and then been told that they don't have a right to appeal to it.
But be specific. What is it that they were trying to appeal?
In most of these cases, it has to do with decisions of county officials regarding regarding building code requirements.
So, for instance, be specific. What kind of thing are you talking about? We aren't getting down to it yet.
In some of them, they claim that there's illegal structures, and others they're claiming, and some of them are like 60 years old. And others they're claiming that there's a safety hazard, and it ends up being, you know, they're red tagging people's property and not giving them an appeals avenue.
Okay, so let me clarify.
Go ahead, Dennis. There is an appeals avenue that is established. Your first level of appeal is to the planning person, and then there's a second level of appeal
to an
administrator in the planning department. Then there's an appeal to the head of the planning department, and finally there's an appeal to the Board of Supervisors.
That's the invention of the planning department, that whole system.
Well, apparently Superior Court Judge Timothy Volkman ruled that the County Board of Supervisors can hear and settle appeals of the planning department.
Yeah, that doesn't solve...
Volkman and the There's problems with our superior court. I think most people know that.
But the issue is not whether Volkman decided it or not. The issue is whether the decision is a just and fair one under the law, and that could well be the case. The issue to me now, and again, I want to, Dennis, you just heard Dan say that there was the one of the issues is that red tags and various other concerns like safety concerns are being unduly, strictly, or inappropriately decided on by the planning department, and that there is no independent appeal, since you can't appeal, you didn't say this, but I'm presuming it, within the planning department, because all these officials support each other, and then the Board of the Supervisors supports those officials. Is that your point, Dan?
Yes. And Dennis mentions a series of avenues of appeal.
I know.
But
we've
an
heard
informal
that.
One is not an appeal.
Right. So the question to you, Dennis, is is it your understanding, you may not know about these cases, you may not have researched them, I certainly haven't, are you suggesting, though, that it's your impression that that these kinds of cases are not a real problem, that the opposite is true, that the board is being too lax rather than too strict or inappropriately applying things instead of inappropriately ignoring things?
Well, the board that we're talking about, which is the Building Accessibility and Fire Code Appeals Board, can review planning department decisions that have to do with specific cases involving the building code itself. Building code, as mentioned earlier, involves things like the size of pipes, the size of wire, the conduits, the number of outlets in a room, that kind of stuff.
Does this involve health and
but
safety or red tagging and structures? I'm sorry, because I want to get back to that issue. The three things that
But
that
if you illegally built a structure and a planning, a code enforcement person goes out and gives you a red tag, you do not have an automatic appeal to the Building Accessibility and Fire Code Appeals Board.
They
appeal that red tag within the planning department and ultimately to the Board of Supervisors.
Technically under the law, it's not an appeal if you're simply going through a process asking somebody to resolve it across the counter or in an office. That's not an appeal.
Okay, but the issue that I think is being raised here by Dennis is it within the purview of this Board of Permit Appeals, or whatever we're going to call it, the Appeals Board, now abolished, but when it was existing, to review these things? And Dennis, as I understand it, you're saying no, it's not. And are you saying yes, it is? Dan, is that a disagreement between you?
Okay, if it has to do with any rule or regulation adopted by a local government in a local area regarding building standards or construction requirements, it may be appealed to the appeals board. What the planning department has been doing is been telling people they don't have a right to appeal.
Right.
To
well, hold on, hold on, hold on. I want to take my shot at this, okay? Because I'm hearing some doublespeak myself, and I'm going to go with Dennis on this one. I mean, but what Dennis is saying is that the cases that his beef is about is not what the buildings are made out of; it's where the fuck they are.
Yes, but the building appeals board by state law is given the right to make determinations with regard to enforcement.
But not where they are, no, because that's a zoning issue. It's completely different. Even a layman like myself can understand that. And I understand. Am I even close, Dennis, to hitting this on the head or what?
I believe you're correct that a lot of these issues had to do with things like rebuilding after the Summit fire.
And they wanted to rebuild buildings that were never legal in the first place, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but see, this is the thing.
The county said that if you had less than 51% of your building needed to be rebuilt, you could come down to them and they would give you a permit to build your structure if it was a conforming structure. If it was not a conforming structure, then you had to start over with the entire planning process.
Now let me ask you then, Dan. You don't dispute what he just said.
Okay. The appeals that we're talking about enforcement and abatements here. The public in the health and safety code has a right to appeal abatements, and the idea is that whether it's a red tag or a letter or some other or a verbal decision or instruction by a local official, if it falls within the building standards area and the building standard, by law, the building standards.
Okay,
the building appeals board has a right to make a determination.
The question
with regard
is,
to abatement.
So again, I'm trying to understand what the difference of opinion is between you.
Well, we're hopping around between different issues.
The issue is very simple. You said three things were I'm looking about the problems that the individual homeowners and home attempt builders brought back to the city, to the Board of Supervisors,
right,
which was trying to rebuild after fires, being denied permits to build. And Dennis, are you saying that it is not the purview of the Board of Appeals, or its now replacement, the Board of Supervisors, to appeal red tagging type decisions of that kind?
Well,
is there no appeal?
No. The code, the Building Accessibility and Fire Code Appeals Board, has to deal specifically with the California Building Code as it's applied.
Red tags. Does it deal with red tags? Does it deal with red tags as applied by the...
If the red tag has to do with something to do with the building code, not something to do with the zoning code.
That's correct.
Exactly.
With one exception.
Which is?
And the exception.
Well, accessibility.
That's a really important topic, but that's separate. The one exception is that the under the Housing Appeals Board Authority, which is part of the Building Appeals Board at this point, is that a board is given the right to make determinations with regard to the second unit. And it's strictly based upon a health and safety issue. But it does have that authority.
Now, are you claiming then, do you agree with that, Dennis, or not?
Yeah, they were granted that authority.
Okay, so now, are you claiming, by the way, Dennis, do I have your permission to expand this discussion for another 10 minutes into your show? We have substitute hosts have arrived. Is that okay with you? And I'll ask if that's okay with them. Are
no,
you?
I would say that, you know, I think another couple of minutes is fine, but I don't really want to extend it as much farther.
Let's do 2 minutes.
Let's do what we can.
Okay,
all right, so again, I'm trying to, again, focus on the issue of red tags. Are you saying, Dennis, that red tags can or cannot be appealed?
There's different kinds of red tags.
Red tag is a citation, just like the people who are having to do with the downtown Santa Cruz. It's a citation.
Right.
Okay, so a red tag, can it be? These people have been pissed that they've gone to the planning department for the red tags, tried to find a board of permit appeals, not been informed it's there, and then when they do appeal it, they're getting blocked by the planning department, and then the board gets eliminated because the Board of Supervisors doesn't like the substance of what the permit appeals board is doing.
Well, the board was eliminated because the Board of Supervisors felt that they were taking on cases that were not within their jurisdiction.
And that's what we're trying to discuss.
And the court agreed.
We don't care what
That was never communicated to us.
No, wait a minute. We're not talking about what the court decided. We're talking about what the nature of that jurisdiction is. For those of us who don't believe the judges rule the world, we're looking at the justice of the issues. People are properly outraged or not. That's my issue. So
I don't care
what Volkman says, particularly.
Well, the court said that
I don't care what
people who have
court
a problem with the planning department have a way to appeal the decisions.
The issue is, do they really? And what is that appeal other than to the Board of the Supervisors, which seems to be backing up the planning?
That is their method of appeal.
But wasn't the Board of Permit Appeals set up to provide an independent basis for this rather than have their buddies on the Board of Supervisors engage in this stuff?
Yes, that's part
the board
of
was, the board was set up to hear building code.
Don't go off in that direction, Dennis, because we're talking about specifically whatever it was set up to hear. We're talking about the red tags now, okay?
Yeah, well, there's all different kinds of red tags, as Dan will agree. That if it was a red tag for something to do with a building code, then the building accessibility and fire code
I return to the specific question.
But if you built an entire house without a permit, that does not fall under the purview of that.
And
you agree with that?
He does agree with that. Was that the case, though, Dan? What are the cases that were causing the outrage? That's what we need to talk about specifically, because...
Well, I think we probably need
the,
to... The
outrage is generally is the denial of the appeals avenue that was appropriate.
But we have to talk about the particular cases, because Dennis is telling us...
I don't have them in front of me, so...
Right, so maybe what we need to do, and although I, you know, if you want to come back again on Sunday, Dan, and talk about this in more detail, and you too, Dennis, I don't know if you do...
I'm not going to have time to go to the public record and find out what the cases
okay,
are
well,
before
Dan,
Sunday.
can you give us two or three cases and email them to me and Dennis to give an example of what you feel are egregious violations that needed to be dealt with by the Board of Permit Appeals or by the Board of Supervisors, by somebody, and that aren't getting dealt with and are the real reason for public concern, regardless of Judge Volkman's decision one way or the other? Can you send me those cases?
Sure, I'll send you some outlines.
And Dennis, maybe you could take a look at them and decide if you feel well enough to get into them at some point.
I hope
point.
You feel better, Uncle Dennis.
Yeah, we hope you
I'm
do.
I'm very concerned about you.
Yeah,
I'm feeling better today, but I just didn't want to, you know, stress myself by...
No problem. And I want to give you, Dan, 1 or 2 minutes to talk about an issue you brought up real earlier. You may not want to talk about it now because it's insufficient time.
Let me continue. Wait, one more point with regard to what we were already talking
sure,
about.
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Okay, the Housing Appeals Board has the authority under state law, which the county can't change unless they seem to think they can, to forestall abatements, in other words, red tag, having to do with housing. And obviously the appeals board can't grant abatements or would not legally be allowed to do something like that in the case of a situation where somebody's health or safety is at risk. But the Housing Appeals Board function may grant abatement of enforcement for up to somebody's lifetime. And that's in...
Yeah, see, this doesn't mean much to most people listening, or, you know, frankly...
Well, in some of the cases that have been brought to my attention, there's a lot of older people
yes.
that are involved that have very limited income.
Right.
And somebody's telling them that they're red tagging big chunks of their property or that they can't rent a room or
right.
a detached building.
Right.
And this is the whole purpose of having these laws, is that there's some reasonable accommodation within the health and the purposes of health and safety of the public.
Okay, now let me ask one final question to Dennis. Does that concern you, Dennis? You think that's an appropriate area in which the Board of Permit Appeals, when it was operating, could legitimately look into?
Well, I would think that situation would involve someone converting, say, a garage into a living area, and then they were red tagged for renting that garage out to somebody. That's a zoning land use issue.
I agree with that. That's why it doesn't apply in that case.
Well, what are you talking right. about then, you know, Dan? What do you, I mean, can you be specific then about what
well,
it is?
Well, there's thousands of red tags in Santa Cruz County. And
give me an example of one that got, that where people felt screwed over and you feel the board was inappropriately shut down for trying
well,
to examine.
Well, the reason the board was shut down was simply the planning department didn't want to.
I know, but again, specifically, give me an example of a case where this was, you know, it brought up an issue that the board was trying to consider that the supervisors didn't want them to consider.
Well, Robert, I think what we need to do is need to go and find the minutes of the meetings of the appeals board and find out which cases they were working on.
Right.
And we just can't do that right now.
Hear you. Okay.
We don't have time.
Dan, thank you, and Dennis, thank you both for trying to, you know, help us thread our way through this maze. I know that it's going to be coming up again.
Well, no one loves the planning department.
Hey, you know what? That's what's happened since the abuses started.
Well, no one's ever loved the planning department because it's an agency that basically tells you what you can do with your own private property, and that's something that no one feels really good about. But no one would want to have a slaughterhouse next door to their.
No, and I agree with that. No, we have a lot of grounds for agreement, too.
Well, maybe we can both, you know, get back to this, or at least on the very narrow grounds. If you send us some of these issues, maybe from the minutes of the meeting, since you were on the board. In fact, you were the president of the board for a while.
The planning department has screwed up our records and our minutes so much that they're almost useless.
Well, then, from your own recollection, give us some of the cases, and we can talk about them based on your recollection. And, Dennis, thanks again. Get well. Dan, thanks for calling in. I'll get back to you. Maybe 10 o'clock on... Sunday, if either of you are interested.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
And that's about it for Bathroom Spears Broadsides.
Wow.
Curb Hugger, thank you for coming
to
the studio.
Thank you for having me,
It's
Robert.
Hamburger time for you, big boy.
Oh, well, thank you. I could use one.
And it looks like we got from the Cream of the Dregs will be coming up shortly. I'm going to play a little music so the folks can kind of
I just let everybody know
transition.
I've got a brand new May issue of The Street Spirit is out. It's a very good issue, and I'll have copies available tomorrow all day long, say 9 to 5, basically.
Will you be at the at the trial of Wes Modes?
I'll come and I'll go, but I'll also be available out in the streets in front of Borders, my usual spot. So
fair enough.
Come on down and get a copy of The Street Spirit.
Right.
And, in the meantime, take care, Santa Cruz.
Hey, caller, you're on Free Radio. What's up?
I hope you stick with it. You know, the topic is still a little fuzzy around the edges
right.
for me.
For sure.
But I think you're on the right track.
Thank you, man.
I hope you stay with it.
I will try again on Sunday.
All right.
Thanks.
Peace, man.
Bye-bye. And that's it for Bathroom Spears Broadsides for tonight. Get back in touch with me if you've got issues between now and Sunday at 9:30 and you want to get in touch and you want to raise on the air. 423-HUFF is the number to call. That's also the number if you've got problems with police misconduct or you want to report good police behavior. Hey, who knows? So that's it, 423-4833. And I'll see you if you're down there tomorrow at 12:30 in front of the county building to see just how much of our public assembly rights are going to be stolen by the courts and by the city attorney and the DA in collusion. We'll see how that works. Free Radio, we got to go. What's up?
Hey, man, I think the county sucks in Santa Cruz, man. They're right behind the Penguins and all the people getting red tags, man. They're out, man. They just got their little card room going in the back, man.
Thank you. Thank you, Drum Circle Dave. Adios, senor. And I'm afraid we had to cut you off there, Drum Circle Dave. You're under arrest for,
Just cut him off?
I just cut him off.
Need that flushing sound, man.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Dave, and thanks everybody else for listening. This show is archived at www.huffsantacruz.org.
That's scary.
Let's listen to a little music from Vision Song Valerie before saying goodnight.
slow down to know how I feel, to know how I think, to know how I am. Here I am, I'm thinking. Here I am, I'm feeling. Breathing, taking in this space around me. Here I am, right here. Heart, to know the balance, to know